Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 27 through 30. It's on page number 1566 in your pew Bibles. You may also want to pull out a golden, Olympic gold here, golden rod or whatever this is, colored bulletin insert that has a sermon outline, some sermon notes you can fill in along the way and take notes. Trying to use the outline that John Ortberg uses for the videos that we are going to be doing in our small groups, so that will help trying to follow that outline and that scheme. But listen as I read from Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. "Who do men say that I am?" Jesus asked. He asked his disciples and he asks us. Peter returned a spirit-led confession. "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ." The bottom line question to all of us is, who do you say that I am? Jesus comes and asks us this same question. Throughout this Lenten series, this Lenten season, we are going to be considering this question, who is this guy? Who is this man? Using the book by John Ortberg, as I have mentioned, and we were considering the uniqueness of Jesus' life and teaching, the impact and influence of his life and teaching on our world then and now. I'll be quoting a number of places from this great book. I would encourage you to get a copy of this. Like I said, it's fantastic and it's so quotable. He writes with such eloquence that there's so many great quotable phrases in this. But he makes mention of Yale historian Yaroslav Pelikan, who wrote, "Regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure of history in the Western culture for almost 20 centuries. If it were possible with some sort of super magnet to pull up out of history every scrap of metal bearing at least a trace of Jesus' name, how much would be left in this world?" The unparalleled impact of Jesus in human history is seen in so many ways. Consider the life of this man who changed history and still changes lives today. Ortberg writes, "On the day after Jesus' death, it looked as if whatever small mark he left on the world would rapidly disappear. Instead, his impact on human history has been unparalleled." Normally, when someone dies, their impact on the world immediately begins to recede. As I write this, our world marks the passing of digital innovator Steve Jobs, Ortberg writes. Someone wrote that 10 years ago, our world had Bob Hope, Johnny Cash, and Steve Jobs. Now we have no Jobs, no Cash, and no Hope. You see, Jesus inverted the normal human trajectory as he did so many others. Jesus' impact was greater 100 years after his death than during his life. It is greater still after 500 years. After 1,000 years, his legacy laid the foundation for much of Europe. After more than 2,000 years, he has more followers in more places than ever before. So let us consider the unpredictable influence of this inescapable Jesus and consider how he impacts and influences society and cultures in our day and especially our lives as individual believers. Who is this man is the question of the day. Who is this man? His presence is unavoidable. His presence is unavoidable. He promised to be with us, present with us, always. Emmanuel, God with us. For all believers, his presence can be known as we gather together in Jesus' name. Jesus promised his disciples then and now, for where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. And his last words, his parting assurance to his disciples that carries down into our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew 28, verse 20, "Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That is such comforting news, a great strength and promise. The promise of God's presence is unavoidable. Plus, his presence is seen on earth in so many different ways. Jesus is history's most familiar figure. You can't look at a map without seeing Jesus named in cities, towns, universities, named for him or for his followers. The symbol of the cross is on flags of nations. As I watch the parade of nations in the Olympics, it's remarkable as I was thinking on this theme to see how many flags of the nations bear a cross. All of the Nordic countries, Denmark, Finland, Norway, Sweden, Iceland, additionally, Switzerland, England, Greece, all bear the mark. And if you had no understanding of why they, their national symbol, their national banner had a cross on it, it would be strange and obscure. What is that about? An instrument of execution, the most gruesome execution ever devised in human history? Well, that's because of Jesus. His death on the cross secured our eternal hope and changed the world. Calendars today are based on his existence. His birth is the dividing line in human history. Daily, in Jesus' name, we see his presence. As in Jesus' name, desperate people are praying, grateful people are worshiping, and angry people are swearing. From baptisms, christenings, to weddings, to sick rooms, to funerals, in Jesus' name, people are hatched, matched, patched, and dispatched. I love that quote from John Ortberg. Think about it. In Jesus' name, people are hatched, matched, patched, and dispatched. From the dark ages up to post-modernity today, he is the man that won't go away. His presence is unavoidable. And his influence is inescapable. His influence is inescapable. His influence changed the way we view and treat children, the way we view and treat women, way we view and treat the disabled and the impoverished and disenfranchised. His followers were the first to make an impact in modern education, especially in the Western world. It is in his name that libraries were collected, that institutions of higher education were instituted, such as Oxford and Harvard, and Oxford and Cambridge and Harvard and Yale. Followers of this man were the first to establish hospitals and modern medicine, orphanages to care for the children, and charity organizations such as the Red Cross and the Salvation Army. Plus, his influence is inescapable as his teaching is revolutionary. Think about it. Just as those hearing him in the first century said, as it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, when Jesus had finished teaching and saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as one of the teachers of the law. Ancient Greeks and Romans in that day didn't think or teach like this. This is revolutionary. Revolutionary teachings, such as love your enemies. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 43, you have heard people say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you. The Greeks and the Romans of old didn't think or teach like that. They didn't say, do not take revenge, but turn the other cheek. Jesus said, you have heard the law that says punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. The cultures and prevailing teachings of the day didn't teach that. Practice servanthood as a path to greatness. What a revolutionary idea. Whoever wants to become great among my disciples, Jesus said, must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Such countercultural, such counterintuitive, revolutionary teaching. Humble yourself, Jesus taught. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. If you put yourself above others, you will be put down, but if you humble yourself, you will be honored. That's upside down, Jesus. That doesn't fit with what we hear around the world today. One more. Forgive without ceasing. Forgive, and you will be forgiven, Jesus taught. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Jesus' teaching was unheard of in the predominant cultures of his day and still today in many areas. Jesus is the man who never gives up. His influence is inescapable. And his appeal is inexhaustible. His appeal is inexhaustible. Jesus was and is mysterious and enigmatic. Who is this man? People asked. At the time of Jesus' birth, angels were amazed, shepherds were astounded, wise men marveled, Herod and all of Jerusalem with him were troubled. Mary treasured up and pondered all these things in her heart. At the age of 12, Jesus was found in the temple, impressing and amazing the scribes and teachers in the temple with his understanding, questions, and answers. Jesus, as he inaugurated his earthly ministry, came into his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, read the scroll of Isaiah, and said, "Now is this fulfilled in your hearing?" What? Isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? Who is this guy claiming to be? Throughout his ministry, signs, wonders, miracles, multitudes thronged to him, but he had no place of honor in his hometown. Even his disciples who followed him saw all of his miracles when Jesus showed his power, his awesome power over nature as he calmed the Sea of Galilee. His disciples said, "Who is this man that even the wind and waves obey him?" John the Baptist initially said, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is the one coming after me who has been prophesied about." Even he was wondering as he was languishing in Herod's prison and sent word to Jesus, "Are you the one or should we expect another?" Caiaphas, in the mock trials Jesus faced before his crucifixion, said, "Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" Pilate said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" John Ortberg says, "Jesus is as hard to nail down as Jell-O. Kings think that if they name his name, they can co-opt his authority. But Jesus, the liberator, keeps breaking through. When people claim his authority for slavery, a William Wilberforce or Jonathan Blanchard sees him in the call to freedom. Jesus inspired Leo Tolstoy, who in turn inspired Mahatma Gandhi, who in turn inspired Martin Luther King Jr., and he inspires Desmond Tutu in South Africa to dream up and pray a truth and reconciliation committee for apartheid. And yet, look at the people Jesus brings together. Jesse Jackson and Jerry Falwell, Jim Wallace and Jim Dobson, Anne Lamont and Thomas Kincaid, Billy Graham and Billy Sunday and Bill Clinton and Bill Shakespeare, Bono and Bach and Bev Shea, Galileo and Isaac Newton and Johannes Kepler, Thomas Aquinas and Thomas A. Kempis, T.S. Eliot and C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, George Washington and Denzel Washington and George Washington Carver, Sojourner Truth and Robert E. Lee, Constantine and Charlemagne, Sarah Palin and Barack Obama, John Milton and Paul Bunyan. Well, anyhow. Mr. Rogers and Jimmy Carter and Peter the Great. Something about Jesus keeps prodding people to do what they would rather not. Francis of Assisi gave up all of his possessions. Augustine gave up his mistresses. John Newton gives up his slave trade. And Father Damien gives up his health. Jesus' appeal is inexhaustible. And one more thing. Jesus' endurance is inextinguishable. His endurance is inextinguishable. Jesus' legacy continues to last undiminished by the years. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says in Hebrews 13:8. Ralph Waldo Emerson said once that the name of Jesus was not so much written as plowed into the history of this world. H.G. Wells marveled that after two millennia, he said, a historian like myself, who doesn't even call himself a Christian, finds the picture centering irresistibly around the life and character of this most significant man. The historian's test of an individual greatness is, what did he leave to grow? Did he start men to thinking along fresh lines with a vigor that persisted after him? By this test, Jesus stands first. Jesus' enduring legacy, what has he left to us? What has Jesus passed on? More than just the greatest teachings for all of life, more than just his marvelous model and pattern for living, more than just the peace that passes all understanding. As he left to his disciples, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." But even more than that, Jesus has given us life, abundant life, full and free, eternal life, assured in salvation. His amazing love, the joy in our hearts, the hope of heaven, his grace and forgiveness, all are his enduring legacy. Consider this. In the words of preacher Dr. James Allen Francis, almost a century ago, "Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village, worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the one piece of property he had on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever were built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of humanity upon this earth as powerfully as has that one solitary life. How about your life? The question comes down to us today. Who is this man in our lives? What is the inescapable impact and influence that he brings to bear in our daily lives? How will Jesus impact your life this week? How will his teaching make a difference in your life this week? How will you allow him to change your life forever? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the strength of your love, the witness of your life. And Lord, we ask that you would enable us to marvel over this one, the life and ministry and teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we fix our eyes upon Jesus, as we focus on him in these weeks, enable us not only to be amazed, but to be changed, to be transformed, to be like him, that we may not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds as we meditate on the truth. He is the truth that transforms. He is the truth and the life, the way to eternity. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and change us, we pray. In your name, amen.